You're listening to ESPN 97.5, your home for sports. Presented by Rice University, Jones Graduate School of Business MBA program. KFNC Mount Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Here they come, yo. Here they come. All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN. 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects, and we are happy that you are going to take us along for the ride, hopefully for the next 3 hours. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel in studio. What's up, fellas?
What up, what up?
What up?
All good here in the neighborhood. What's going on?
I'm sore.
Are you?
First week of yard work. I'm exhausted.
Oh, I thought you picked up another cup of coffee.
You beat me to it, or put a big gulp on the roof. I don't know.
No, I spent all day weed eating the ditches. Oh. I'm so close to hiring somebody.
How long have Nick and I been telling you this?
I know. Well, look, I don't make Nick and Joel money, okay?
Oh, that's right.
I don't make Nick and Joel money.
I thought it was kind of decided. Oh, you were still considering.
Yeah, after the lawnmower got stuck, and then I was like,
I forgot about that.
All this.
The other thing is, you don't want to be Barry's lawn guy, because you know he's that guy that's looking over your shoulder going,
hey, raise the mower. That's not 4 inches minimum.
Yeah, that would you're going to need to flat top those shrubs there, but round off those. And if you don't do a very good job, I'm going to be there.
Yeah, that would probably be me. I'm not going to lie.
I wouldn't care. So, I'd just get the job done.
Yeah, but
prevent
no.
Prevent me from getting a letter, please.
That's the thing. That's what I did all weekend. So
you did yard work?
Well, power washing.
Oh.
So I find out because I got two evil letters in the mail from my HOA. Both of them are ridiculous. But one of them said, you need to power wash. And I looked around the house and I was like, you know what? Fair point. There's some things I could get to, right?
It's funky.
But then I go on the Facebook page and I realized they sent it to everyone.
Really?
So everyone's freaking out about power washing.
What so a bunch of...
My buddy's got
the kind of headache I want.
My buddy's got a power washer, so I'm, like, not freaking out. I ring him up, and he's like, dude, I'll bring it over Saturday. Let's just knock it out. I was like, all right, cool. So I start and really, we did meticulous work on mine to make sure we got all the power washing that I was planning on doing.
Did you do the brick and the fence and everything?
Just, yeah, everything. Yeah, the rock around some
you
of the
power
shrubs.
Wash the water?
Yeah,
the rock?
Yeah, because we get some of that.
Oh, yeah. The moss, actually, is it the big rocks?
Yeah.
That's supposed to have moss on it.
No, not the big one. There's like a corner rock, and then there's like brick around it.
Oh, okay.
So got all that done, but it took most of Saturday. The ironic thing was I was laughing at him, and I go, you want to make extra money? And he's like, always, bro. Why? I go, because either we could steal a political yard sign, flip it over, and just put your name and number on it, or I guarantee you by the end of the day, my neighbors are so nosy that they are going to sign up and sign you up. He's like, no way. By 3 o'clock, he had 4 more jobs lined up.
Nice.
I was like, I'll help you with my neighbors because he's a really nice guy. And I want you to cut him a deal because of it. I said, after that, he goes, no, I want you to be my middleman. I go, well, you start giving me a cut?
Yeah.
You start doing all that?
Yeah.
Dude, exactly. I didn't realize power washers knock it out of the park.
Oh, yeah. They do.
Have one. It's amazing. There's this. The problem with power washing is it becomes addictive.
Oh, no doubt about it. He and I both said the same thing. Addictive.
No, it does.
He's right.
I swear to God. You start off and doing your little driveway. And you're working your way down. The next thing you know, you're on the sidewalk. And now you're doing the sidewalk in front of your house. You keep going. Then you hit the neighbor's driveway. And you're like, well, I just can't do through the sidewalk. I might as well do their drive. Before you know it, you've done half the street. But it's so therapeutic.
It's like doing a puzzle. You can't. Once you start doing a puzzle, you can't stop midway through the puzzle like this.
Now, do y'all have the disc? Or was it just straight?
No.
You got to get the disc.
No, you don't.
Oh, yes,
the disc
you do.
Is not as powerful. The one my buddy's got is 2,500 PSIs. That bad boy, it is
no, no, no. They make an attachment for it. It doesn't change the PSI on the pressure washer. It's just a circle that you put on the ground, and it's got like this rotating thing.
So, ironically.
Oh, it's so badass. You got to get
that. My other buddy who has a carpet cleaning business was like, I'm in the neighborhood. Y'all need anything done? I'm like, yeah, ask Lisa. I'm sure she does. So he stops by and he brings out the circular one. But his was only like 1,000 PSI or something like that.
This is just the
and
attachment.
I'm like, no, that weak-ass thing, I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I'm like, that weak-ass thing can get out of here because we got one that is going to knock the absolute sauce off of anything.
This is incredible. You guys are excited about pressure washing.
Dude, it's the best.
Nick, if seriously, and it's like, you know, when you start doing it and you see the results, it starts getting, but it also starts letting you know,
I got
like
a chub. I got a chub doing my driveway. I got a chub.
Like, it's methodical. So you start doing it, you see the difference it makes, but you also see, like, well, now I got to finish because there's half of a driveway that looks like it's got gunk all over it, and another half that looks like it's squeaky brand new.
See?
I feel like you guys would be excited about buying a fancy vacuum cleaner or something like that.
Not me. My wife would. No, she's into all that.
You don't want me to tell you about our vacuum
just
cleaner.
Put Clyde
I bet you your vacuum cleaner is probably industrial, like $1,500. And only used at offices that we're in right now.
I'm going to catch so much heat for this.
You should. What kind of vacuum cleaner do you have?
Ours is like in the walls.
What do you mean in the walls?
Like,
oh my God. It's built in, Nick, no. to the walls.
Yeah.
That is so ridiculous.
It's the dopest thing in the house. It's the best. Like, we have these little things along the baseboards throughout the house.
Oh my God.
That you just. It is.
Oh my God.
That you just. Push the little thing open, and it's like a little door, and then you open it, and then the vacuum just sucks the dirt. So you just sweep to that little thing and open it, and it just sucks all the dirt up. And then throughout the house, there's little plates on the wall that look like outlets, but it takes an attachment for a vacuum. So you just pull the little thing down, attach it, and then you just vacuum all over the house, and you can move the attachment around from room to room. It's so dope.
He lives it.
It's so dope. It was the one thing that I told my wife. I was like, we have to do this. Like, I know we don't have the money in the budget for this, but we have to do this.
So you customly installed your vacuum cleaner?
Well, because we had the house built. And so.
Oh, so it's not that bad when you have it built.
You sure you didn't buy this house from George Jetson? Because the stuff that the contraptions that makes you got sense. In this house.
But we were like, it wasn't cheap, but it wasn't as bad as you would think. I don't even remember how much it was, but I remember thinking this is going to be like 10 grand. It wasn't even close to that.
Barry doesn't have light switches. He has iPads all around the house, and that's what he uses to turn everything off.
We almost did that.
That is kind of fancy.
We almost did that. But we do. Everything is automated, though, now. But we almost did the iPads on the wall thing, but that was too much. But this vacuum cleaner system, I love this thing so much. Like, it's the best. Like, where our cat eats, because, you know, animals are messy.
Yeah.
There's a little foot plate right there by the cat thing. So, literally, you just open it and then sweep all the food and they're gone. It's the best. Like, if you ever build a house, look at getting an in-wall vacuum system.
Wow.
It's so amazing. I can't even tell you. It's the best.
So. I bought a vacuum. I dropped $70 on it and I was angry. I was so angry.
Because you spent $70.
And it's like a cheap-ass vacuum,
too. Is it like a dustbuster with a broomstick taped to it?
I think it just says curb. They left out the Y.
It's a Kirby K-U-R-B-Y.
It's a curb.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Lisa's big on the vacuum thing. And so she had put it on our wedding registry.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And someone... who will remain nameless, came up really big and got the really big name and everything like that. And all of a sudden, I came home one day. I'm like, where is... And she goes, oh, no. The vacuum guy said, this one's even better. And it's like not as well-known, but vacuum people will tell you. I'm like, could you stop like playing general manager with vacuum cleaners? If it picks up the dirt in the carpet, we're good.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I find out that you can have an outlet in every room of the house that actually does it like a vacuum.
I'm going to take pictures and send it to y'all of the vacuum. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's the one thing that makes the house fancy.
We removed most of the carpet in the house, so we have very little vacuuming.
Just concrete?
Wood.
Oh.
Tile.
You replaced it with something. With wood. I thought you just took it out. You're just like, okay, we're going to go concrete from now on.
Nope. They just they decided not to go with the carpet.
Yeah. That's smart. I don't think most people have carpet now. Like, we have it in the guest bedrooms. That's the only places we have carpet. It's all
we have it in
tile
our,
and wood.
We basically have it in our bedroom.
Yeah, that's where we're
in the bedrooms in the house have it. And Lisa's like, it has to be unified. No, it really doesn't. Because more and more people are just getting rid of having carpet.
Matthew and RP3 on Twitter validated what we said. They were like, yo, it's so addicting. Power washing is the crack of home maintenance projects. It really is.
Yeah.
And Jermaine has a good point. So we can have pressure washing talk, but not lawn talk. Do you know how many people are hitting me up for advice? I'm like, I'm out of the advice business. I'm tired of telling people.
Start a blog.
Send them an email.
Well, no, but it's like, but it's the same things people keep asking me about. Hey, you said don't use Weed and Feed. What was it like? Or, hey, do I fertilize now? Or I'm like, man, see, I just want to be able to do it on air, but I got these hating ass co-hosts.
Yeah.
Can't
sorry.
Do it.
Hit him up on Twitter, at Barry
no,
is funny.
No, kiss my yes, ass.
Absolutely.
I'm not
That's
answering
the main
any
way
questions.
To make sure
I'm
your
out,
question is answered.
I'm out of that business. I'm not answering any more questions. And by the way, that's what I was talking about. Justin Frederick, that's what
yeah,
I'm talking about.
Okay, I've seen one, but his
But see, so your pressure washer attaches to that disc, so it doesn't change the PSI. Inside of there, it's just got this like thing that has two heads on it, and yeah. It spins.
Oh, it does look different. I've never seen one of those before.
It's so amazing. That's what you need.
I'm telling you what, honestly, when I saw what people are charging for power washing,
yeah,
it is, and Nick, he's seriously, and literally... Because my buddy's like, dude, you doing like a putting stroke or whatever? I'm like, dude, seriously? When you get into that wanting to keep it even yeah. and wanting to get it all done, it's just you can do that.
It's like crack, dude. I'm telling you.
It's pretty really? Addicting.
What's messed up is my pressure washer, I left it for too long. I didn't use it for like 2 years, and the gas tank is rusted out. So now I got to either buy a new one or figure out how to fix the gas tank. And I'm so bad at that. Like, I know a lot of dudes are good at working on... like small engines.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that.
That's what my buddy did. He had a friend in Florida. He went to visit his parents, and he had a friend in Florida that was like, man, I don't want this because I got to change the carburetor out on this power washer.
See,
like,
that's so
easy.
He's
like, just hand it to me right now. He goes, if you don't want it, I'll take it. And he goes, you can fix it? He goes, he played dumb. He goes,
I'll
give it a shot. I'm not sure. It might just be totally spent. He fixed the carburetor on it.
Yeah.
This thing is like all... world.
Oh, the one I bought was really nice. It's a Generac. It's badass, but like I just left it with gas in the tank for 2 years.
Power washers all are rusted. Getting like.
I really hope I don't sound like this in a decade.
Nick, oh, you're
really,
going to.
Really
you're
hope I don't
to.
Sound
Nick,
like this.
If you go buy one, and they're not that expensive, but literally in neighborhoods that like have HOAs, you get $100 an hour.
I believe that, and I was also told it's a very like low cost business to start up.
Yep,
is what I was told too. So.
I'm not doing there's that, a but. Kid in the neighborhood that advertised he would do come out and do the average driveway for like $50,
which is that's a fantastic deal. Yeah, he's losing money.
Yeah, well I have the circle drive, so that's not gonna help,
right?
But this is the one I have. This is my bad boy.
Yeah. And literally because we have a really long driveway,
yeah,
that for $50, that's a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
Because it's time-consuming now, but depending on the concrete you have. But, boy, I'll tell you what, it makes a difference.
But this time of year, too, when it's not too hot, it's dude, I'm telling you, it's the best. Especially, like, see, Nick, you'll know when you settle down. You're still a young, yep. viral man who is out there experiencing the world. But once you have a wife and maybe a kid and they're driving you crazy, then you'll be like, you know what, I would rather go listen to the sound of a pressure washer. Than to be inside with all of the other stuff that goes on inside.
You're going to put it on your wedding registry.
And you'll be like, yeah.
You're going to be damn happy you did.
Like, sometimes you're like, I'd rather just go listen to the weed eater. Now, I'm not saying my wife sounds like a weed eater.
Y'all are making me not want to ever get married. I was actually considering getting married until this segment. I'm not getting married ever.
Well, you
ever.
Know, you
first
know,
of all, you got to have a lady.
I was
going to
say,
I do.
You got to have a willing participant.
That's,
so it's yeah. not like just because you considered
That's
it, someone else has to
bus.
Consider it
yeah,
too.
And it's got
to
be mutually agreed upon. You
yeah.
can't.
Yeah.
That's a big speed bump right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finding someone that wants to marry your
yeah.
ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah that's going to be an issue.
Bump. Get over that bump before you get to the power washer.
But hey, you know what? If you don't do the power washing business, I got another way you can get cash back in your pocket. It's called Get Upside. You can download Get Upside. No power washer needed to get cash back in your pocket. It's a free app that you can get in the iTunes or Google Play Store. I want you to download GetUpside. I want you to put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, because that's going to get you extra savings on your first fill-up. But let me tell you what GetUpside does before we get to this promo code. What GetUpside does is it gets you cash back on gas and food, this, you know, the stuff you're already spending money on. Like when you go to the pump, let's say you go to this Shell station up here at 610 and Westheimer, and you're just up there pumping gas, and you're not using GetUpside. You're leaving money at the pump. Like I've seen it 12 cents cash back at that gas station right there. Why would you leave that money at the pump? If someone came up and offered you $5 while you're pumping gas, you're going to take it. So download GetUpside, put in promo code Barry, get that extra savings on your first fill up, and actually start getting cash back
every time you fill up. My wife got 30 cents back when she used promo code Barry on her first fill up through the app, and you can do that too. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back at over 500 gas stations around the city. They have up to 35% cash back on food at places like Popeyes and Wendy's and Candelaria's Pizza and Burger King. Like 35%. If you did that three times, that's a free meal. Well, don't leave money on the table either. I don't want you to do that. Download GetUpside, like I said, totally free. Make sure you put in promo code Barry. That's B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra savings on that first fill-up. And when you do it, man, you're going to start getting cash back, and it's legitimate. Like, I've seen listeners have sent me screenshots of their GetUpside app where they've got $200 cash back already built up into their account. So it's real. It works. I use it. You should be using it. Download GetUpside. Put in promo code Barry. Get that cash back, and thank me later.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on a Monday on The Usual Suspects. And of course, if you want to reach us, we always reach out to you and let you know the HRNP listener line is your best avenue. That is where you can text and or call the show, 713-780-3776. But don't fret, because if you don't want to do either one of those things, you can reach out to us on Twitter, and we're normally pretty good about responding, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry Is Funny. As we just get into things, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, we got off the air on Friday, and there was just a ton of stuff going on this weekend.
Yeah, there really was. The big Motley Crue, no.
What Motley Crue?
You didn't watch it.
Mm-mm. No, I was a huge Crue fan growing up. What?
Netflix, there's a biopic from Motley Crue, hour and 50 minutes long, called The Dirt.
Did you watch it?
I watched it.
I bet you that's good, though.
I bet it is good, because you got some people. You think about the guys. You think about Tommy Lee, and where do you start? With a video, the Pam Anderson, all the chicks he's been to. Okay. Vince Neil, and you got all of his antics. It was one of the two. Either Vince Neil or, old boy from Poison, Brett Michaels. But one of them had an incident at the Bunny Ranch.
I think it was Brett Michaels.
Was it?
Yeah.
But Vince Neil always was dabbling. And then you had Nikki Sixx, who was married to one of the Baywatch chicks that used to be in Playboy. Those dudes, I'm sure there's plenty of dirt.
Well, I'm not going to spoil it for you, especially if you're a big Motley Crue fan, but okay. It's definitely worth watching. I will say, though, that a lot of people were like, oh, I like that better than I did, because I also watched Bohemian Rhapsody this weekend.
Oh, yeah? And your rating? Because Fred hated it.
I loved it. Okay. I thought it was a really good movie. A lot of people said that they liked The Dirt, which is the Motley Crue biopic, better than Bohemian Rhapsody. I did not. The wife didn't like the Motley Crue thing either, because it was kind of a weird start. Like, the way it's being narrated, it's very, like, bro-ish. So it's a little hard to listen to at the beginning. But it was interesting to see the life that they lived. And I won't ruin it for you, but the part where they're at the pool with Ozzy, awful. Awful, awful, awful. Just.
In what way?
I'll run it for you. All right, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen The Dirt, don't listen or come back in a minute. But they're hanging out at the pool, right? Now, this is basically just tales of all the stuff that they did on the road. It includes Vince Neil killing Razzle. It includes Nikki Sixx getting hooked on heroin. It includes all that stuff.
Okay.
But at one point, they're touring with Ozzy, and they're at the pool, and Ozzy comes out. And he's acting a fool like Ozzy would. Mm-hmm. And at one point, he's like, hey, give me a straw. I need a bump. And they're like, we don't have anything. Ozzy's like, give me a straw. I said, give me a straw. I want a bump. They're like, okay. So, like, one of them takes the straw out of their drink and gives it to him. And he gets on the ground and he snorts ants.
Oh, no.
Ants into the nose. He snorts them. And then he stands up and they're like, and he's like, yeah, you can't. You ain't as crazy. You might be crazy, but you're not crazy like me. And then he starts peeing on the pool deck. And everybody's watching like, oh, my God, this guy's crazy. So he pees, and then he gets down and drinks his pee.
Oh, jeez.
While the ants that he just snorted was in his body?
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
no.
And so then Nikki Sixx was like, whatever, bro, watch this. And so he's peeing, and then he goes to dive down to drink it, and Ozzy knocks him out of the way and drinks his pee.
Oh, man.
I'm so out on drinking someone else's pee. I'm out on drinking my pee. I'm not cut out for that rock and roll life.
We've already covered that. We covered that chapter a few weeks ago. That is not happening.
I am not cut out for that rock and roll life if I got to sit there and drink people's pee.
I mean, he was crazy.
Ozzy was wild, though.
He was insane.
Yeah. That was just one of the many things where you're like, oh, wow, that was awful. That was horrible.
You guys give me a hard time about the Stephen A. impersonation starting with that. But before Stephen A., there was Ozzy. Because it's just a different version. It's just slightly more English of the... It's like a car that can't start. That's Ozzy Osbourne. And most times when you ask him a question... But that dude was... Forget about... And that was a big controversy. Was he was biting the heads off of live animals on stage.
Yeah.
Bats and things like that.
I don't
think
he'd be as famous if he did it now.
Probably not.
No, this sensitive ass world we live in.
Like if social media PETA, in the Me Too era.
PETA
was
would be like, that poor bat. Shut up, PETA. It's a bat. No one cares about the bat. It's just how disgusting that was. Yeah, but it's a bat. Shut up. No one cares. Like that's would be the first. So that would be the big to do.
So essentially, it's like Bohemian Rhapsody. You got guys playing each of the characters in Motley Crue and just acting all of it out.
And like, I felt like they did a disservice to Vince Neil. The guy that plays him looks nothing like him. He's like, no, because Vince Neil was pretty. Because according to Fred, when I did the show Friday, he said that Aerosmith hung out with Motley Crue, and afterwards because they hung out with Vince Neil, that's why they wrote Dude Looks Like a Lady. It was about Vince Neil.
Really?
I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't know either. And so I thought, well, this dude that they got to play Vince Neil, nothing like. I thought they did well with Tommy Lee and Nikki Sixx and Mick Mars?
Mick Mars, yeah.
And that was, and I had no idea he had like bone issues, and it was fascinating.
Well, they're kind of like the new age Rolling Stones, where they all look like they're gonna die.
Tommy
or
Lee now, I can't say what I thought when I saw because they show him at the end because they show like the cast walking, and then they show the real Motley Crue. Tommy Lee looked like he developed certain afflictions that usually you would get at birth, is how I'm going to say it the nicest way possible. You just have to watch it. Because when you see it, you're going to be like, oh, my God. I don't know, maybe Google Tommy Lee just to see what he looks like now. Bro.
We already know he needs, like, tailored pants, but...
Like, that's what I told my wife, too. I was like, okay, I'll set the over-under on 10 minutes that we see Tommy Lee's penis at some point in this movie. And I didn't know that there wasn't going to be just tales of them.
Yeah.
Fortunately, that never happened. A lot of breasts, though. A lot of female breasts in the movie. If you're into that, there's plenty of that to see. But
I'll tell you this,
pretty fascinating.
I'm gonna watch it. I love the music, but when I was in college, my girlfriend in college won the radio station contest and got to meet Motley Crue backstage.
So she had sex with him.
No, she did not. No,
we watch it. Just look. All I'm gonna say is remember this conversation.
Yeah.
Because literally at three different points in the movie, they made it a point that if you like your girlfriend, don't leave her with Motley Crue because they will have sex with her. They had sex with each other's girlfriends and didn't tell them.
So
I'm just telling you, she probably banged
them. I was next to her the whole time.
She banged
them. It's like a meet
and
greet area.
She might have ninja banged them where
you
didn't know
it. Doesn't matter because my point was their backup singers were called the Nasty Habits.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God, were they good. They were just fantastic. Just
were hot.
Oh, God, were they hot.
Yeah.
Well, it was just out of this world.
They said, don't leave your girl around Motley Crue.
I totally believe that.
I wouldn't leave your girl with any rock star, honestly, would you?
I don't want to run it for you. Just watch it. Okay. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Okay. You watch it tonight, too, okay?
Oh, it's been ruined, sir.
You're going to watch it tonight. The Dirt. It's called
it.
The Dirt on Netflix. Absolutely. Everybody out there listening, watch it, and then we'll all discuss tomorrow.
There you go. Okay. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Just the first half hour gone. That means 2.5 still to go of the big show. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, man. Ladies, gentlemen, always good to have you. Just kicking it as we normally do here on The Usual Suspects. And we were just talking, I said in the break, we were talking about power washing and such. And I was like, man, I was amazed because I really didn't check in on any social media or anything. We had the game on where we could look through the window and see the scores occasionally of the tournament. But then I get in the house on Saturday night and I'm like, Verlander signed an extension? Boom! That's huge! Not only the fact that he's going to be back with the Astros, but the number
right.
was 33 a year for two more years. He's ecstatic. Kate Upton's tweeting and social media. She's ecstatic. So there's another one that they can knock off the list in terms of
I like it.
Extensions. I love it, and I hope they keep going. And again, it's a trend because then Chris Sale and the Red Sox reached just like a mammoth deal, which I was like, that might be a little too much for a guy that's had some breakdown issues.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's the norm in baseball that it's coming. But I loved even more the fact that, and you and I have talked about this, the culture's different, the people in place are different, setting a new standard for who the Astros are now, trying to erase the woes of the past when they were miserable both on and off the field. And Verlander, in his press conference, just summed it up beautifully in terms of this is where he wanted to be. He wanted to be, and this is exactly the franchise he wanted to play for.
You know, the extensions and the large contracts. I mean, I think you see the top of the food chain. Those guys are always going to get their contracts. You know, the Bryce Harpers, the Mike Trouts, those guys. You know, I think extensions are a new wave in baseball that I think teams are understanding the situation that they're in when they have the player in-house. You know, there's a mutual leverage there for both sides to get something done. And I think that's why you're seeing a lot of this happen right now. I don't think, you know, I can only speak for myself. I wasn't scared of free agency and what's going on. I thought this was a good situation. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I've really enjoyed my time here in Houston. Like I said, part of something special here. All-time wins last year, World Series championship the year before. I don't want to be anywhere else. This is a great team, and it's going to continue to be a great team. What these guys have done with the talent that we have and we've accumulated, and the talent that's up and coming, I can't see a better situation. So that's for me why this extension was a perfect marriage.
That's fantastic.
I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the Astros. They got their ace back for a couple more years. I just feel like 33 was too much. I'm gonna be honest.
I thought it might be, but at the same time, when you have this window and you don't know how long you're going to have it open for, the fact that this is a firm stamp of Jim Crane saying, I'm good with this. Because like you said, the owner's got to approve when you're talking about funds like that. And again, when you look at the Sale Red Sox deal, which was 5 years for $145 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I think based on the fact that with his injury history and even last year, the arm problems that he had before he was able to come back for the playoffs, Verlander's just been that freak of nature. You didn't have to go for like longer periods of time. You got him on two extra years. You'll have him for the next three. We always say that inflation happens. Numbers are going to escalate.
Yeah. The only reason I like it, I mean, I like it because I like Justin Verlander as a pitch. I think he's outstanding and he's proven it. And the reason it doesn't scare me as much as if this were some other, like Chris Sale, for example, a 6-year deal.
That's what I'm saying. The Sale deal.
He's already worries me because of the injury issues that he's had. But a guy like Justin Verlander has been, if he's not been anything, he's been durable. And that's the only where I'm like, okay, well, at least you feel like you're going to get 30 starts out of him every year, and you're going to get, and he's going to go deep, and he gets into games, and he's a bullpen saver a lot of times when he's in there. And if you need a guy to go, hey man, look, our bullpen was taxed last night, and can you go eight? Whether he's, you know, whether he has it that day or not, he's a bulldog. He'll go eight for you. You know what I mean? So in that regard, I think it's good money spent. But I do worry that you just gave 33 a year to a 36-year-old starting pitcher, but he pitches like he's 32.
Yep.
So that's the difference there. Plus now, per average per year, he's the second highest paid pitcher in baseball.
To what, Kershaw?
Greinke.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Arizona's paying Zach Greinke $34 million this year.
I'm sorry.
David Price third. David Price and Clayton Kershaw are third at 31.
And you would have thought with the Price deal, the Red Sox might have learned a lesson and just tried to make it a shorter term deal for Sale. And then because the other thing was at the end of that press conference, a reporter was like, "So Justin, is this your last contract?" And he looked at him and went, "Nope." And they went, "So is that it? Anything else you want to say?" He goes, "I just plan to keep on pitching." And you know what? He's that guy because of what we were just talking about that no one doubts him.
Yeah.
He's like the Tom Brady of baseball in terms of durability and health-wise. He'll get into his 40s, and he may still be bringing it with, you know, velocity in the upper 90s. It's crazy what he's able to do that's just a freak of nature compared to most pitchers in baseball. When we talk about his velocity going up in the later innings after throwing close to 100 pitches, that's just not supposed to happen.
Yeah, and I was looking at 2020 free agents because you're going to have to start looking at that at some point. Like, was this money well spent? Because, you know, could you have spent $33 million or $66 million maybe less per year but for more years for another guy that would have given you seriously close to the same value? So obviously you got Gerrit Cole becoming a free agent unless they extend him, but I'll be honest with you, the list of names, because I think Strasburg has player options for after this year that he could take advantage of if he wants to, but I think he can opt out after this year and become a free agent. But his numbers, 25, 15, 15, and $45 million due if he opts in over the next 4 years.
Bad deal, bad deal, bad deal. Wow. I mean, bad deal for him.
Yeah. I was going to say. Yeah,
team's loving every bit of the first
until 2023.
Three, yeah.
And then they got to pay him $45 million for that year.
And we talk about the trends, though, and you talk about pitchers. You see what's going on, and then the Mets, and you have to have Noah Syndergaard out there talking about DeGrom being the best pitcher in baseball, and the Mets aren't getting this deal done. Mm. And he's like, and I'm looking around, and I'm looking at Verlander, and I'm looking at Sale, and I'm looking at all these big-time pitchers, and I'm going, what the hell are we doing? And why isn't he already done? Yeah. And Syndergaard, he's not even talking about himself. He's talking about for the betterment of the team. So if you're an Astros fan, this speaks volumes in terms of the commitment from your owner to your general manager to how much they value the players on the field. And then what Verlander's comments, because here's the thing that adds on to what you were saying. You've got a veteran with experience in the locker room, but that no situation is too big for because of his experience on the mound, too, in terms of big game situations, high leverage situations, stressful situations. He can teach Forrest Whitley. He can work with him, too, which is going to help. So I think this is just all thumbs up gold stars for the Astros. Yes, they may be overpaid a little bit, but this is just another good sign that this team's going to compete for the next couple of years.
I would rather a team overpay for a Justin Verlander than a Chris Singleton or a John Singleton or a Carlos Lee or do something. This, I think, is good money, even because of track record. I mean, when you look at what he's done, he may never be the same guy, and there's no reason to doubt that he won't be. But even if this turns out to be like, he never was the same, but you get the investment, and I love seeing them spend the money. It was a team. I really thought when Jim Crane took over this team, I thought, oh, God.
Yeah.
He's going to be an awful owner because he's so cheap, and he promised that he would spend money, and I thought, yeah, right. And he was like, hang with us. I know we're losing 100 games. We have a plan. I was like, get out of here. That dude lived up to every word he said. I think there's no doubt best owner in this city. And I love Tillman Fertitta. He's still got to prove it, though. But right now, Jim Crane has done everything.
I'm with you.
Everything right. And they're spending money.
And Jeff Luhnow, too. Because what? You had to buck a trend here. Because everybody said, hey, until the team loses control of the player, you're an idiot. If you do anything but just ride it out and keep capitalizing on the fact that for a very small price tag, you're maximizing results on the field. And he went, no, because we're not going to be able to keep those guys when those deals are up because they're going to be bitter.
Well, I mean, you look at this team and you look at the core group that they have. And I think Jeff Luhnow and AJ Hinch and Jim Crane recognize that, oh, you know what? You don't build a team like this. You don't get this many stars together, and a lot of it is done in-house. A lot of it is done through drafting. Carlos Correa and Alex Bregman, and these are guys, Jose Altuve. This is all homegrown talent. This is the Warriors in baseball.
Right.
This is building through the draft and not just the way Drayton McClain used to do it, which was, let's just trade our future and go out and get a name, and then that name ends up flopping 9 times out of 10 because they're past their prime. This is building from within and building a dynasty And you got to keep a dynasty together.
And that's, here's the thing. Small market teams.
That's the whole way you keep a dynasty.
Unless you're the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, or the Cubs, small market teams, you're one and done. You win a World Series, and then you've got to have a fire sale just to try and stay afloat and make a profit. So for the Astros to not only be relevant, win a World Series, relevant again last year with their most win total, I think, in franchise history in the regular season, and compete in the playoffs, and now for a fan base and for everybody that follows this team to go, hey, the next 3 to 4 years...
Yeah,
they're going to be real solid. And that's saying something when you look at small market teams. Look at the Royals. They won it, and then they just had to start chopping pieces off here and there until they became nothing again.
I was looking at 2020 free agents, unrestricted free agents in 2020, leading the pack from a value, I guess, numbers perspective. Cole Hamels and Rick Porcello up there as far as contracts. Bumgarner is going to be a free agent, unrestricted. Colin McHugh is going to be an unrestricted free agent. Wade Miley is going to be unrestricted. Cole. But there are some other names. Marco Estrada.
Now, here's the thing.
Yeah, I said Cole.
With Cole's situation, he's the next guy I would like them to wrap up. And he has said, he's gone out and said, look, I love it here. He's a kind of a quiet, kind of keep to myself kind of guy. And I think he likes that dynamic. And I think he really has gotten attached to Verlander as well. But I think from an agent's perspective, you're doing your player a disservice if you don't push him towards free agency, simply because, like you said, even in a Verlander case, you're going to get more money on the open market. You're going to get those offers. Maybe the Astros come back and they want to match that. But you're doing yourself a disservice if you sign the extension now and you don't know what you actually could have gotten had you hit the open market and free agency.
Yeah, you're doing yourself a disservice, but at the same time, you recognize what this coaching staff is capable of doing when it comes to pitchers, and they're getting the most out of them and changing the way their approach to the game and how they pitch. Now, obviously, he can take that with him, but I mean, I was watching one of the spring training games, and Verlander was on the mound, and they had a dugout shot. He's sitting there with pitching coach
Brent Strom.
And Brent Strom is going over how to hold a changeup. And like, literally, it's just happening right in front of the camera. And for me as a baseball guy, it was fascinating because I'm watching Brent Strom show Justin Verlander how.
That's his pitch he's been working on this year.
And so, and Verlander, and they're talking. And like, that's the stuff that, you may have came here and gotten better from initial coaching, but it's a continuous thing, and that's one thing I think the Astros have the advantage on, and why guys want to stay here.
And the other thing
is, it makes them better.
The locker room.
Yeah.
Because the players aren't a-holes. Yeah, because
that's true, too.
You know what? If you get into a situation where you get all the cash, but you got a bunch of a-holes around you, it ain't going to be fun.
Here's the problem, though, is can you really afford to be throwing out that much money to everybody?
That's a good question. Well,
I mean, at some point, somebody's...
Business must be good, though.
Business must be good, but at the same time, you got to look at it and go, okay, we paid Verlander. We've got Cole, Miley, and McHugh all coming up. I could see him being like, well, McHugh's a good budget number for the production. And then Forrest Whitley and James, and we get McCullers back, and that's probably our starting five.
Those are the guys
that's a value right
those
there.
Those are the guys that shouldn't be looking for the extensions. No. They should be going, I'm just happy to be here, and I'll be under team control.
But you understand that that's all value. I mean, Garrett Cole is great, but all that, if you can get good production out of them, what they're capable of, that's the value that they're going to have to
Real quick, before we go to break, did you guys happen to see, because Jose Partida showed me this, did you guys happen to see that Ryan Pressly, he didn't have a press conference, so the bullpen had one for him?
No.
It was hilarious. You should check it out.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, y'all should definitely
check it out. Tweet it out or something?
I didn't tweet it out. Okay. I didn't tweet it out. But Jose Partida was showing me the pictures, and they had like a table out in the field. It was pretty funny.
That's awesome. Yeah. We'll find
it. That's a sign of a great locker room. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Astros talk, Rockets talk, NCAAs. What's on your mind? Let's talk about it. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number one, 3 hour show. It is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. Appreciate y'all taking us wherever you go. We were talking a little baseball before the break, getting you guys ready for, hey, opening day this week.
I'm so excited, but I'm also like, damn it, man. I only have like 3 days left to do my preview, and I'm probably a third of the way done.
It's a good thing, like, sports map doesn't have like pages. Like, because you'd be like, your dictionary would be. I mean, you're going to be publishing a dictionary of baseball knowledge that people would look at it and be so damn intimidated by it. They're like, I'm not reading that.
It's a lot of words. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It's already, so I've mapped out like, all right, here's all the teams and this is all the moves that they made in the offseason. And it's all free agency, not trades, but except for the Astros. I put in Aledmys Diaz because it was a trade, not a free agent. But it's already 25 pages.
See?
And I haven't even started writing the actual previews, which is a couple paragraphs per team. I'm like, this is a lot of data, but you know, I'm a dork and I like to give out the info. So if you've got a favorite team, they're going to be in the preview and you'll know everything you need to know about them.
You get you some Scott Boris and make sure that he works out a deal with Fred.
You want
either a per word.
Oh my God.
A per word, a per page.
I would make an absolute
killing
on because it's already a lot of words. Like a lot of words. So
Jesus has left sports map. That's what it would come down to at that point.
There's a thing on here. Where's the word count? Let me see.
Oh yeah, it's at the butt. Yeah.
No. It's already 1,767 words, and I've done three teams.
Oh my goodness.
Now, I mean, you can see here, like I have all the teams in the doc, and it's 25 pages. But what I've been doing is, like, so each team I break down manager, the 2018 vitals, which is their record, where they finished in the division, their run differential, and then I do the offseason moves, and then I write a preview for the team. And I've only written three previews, Yankees, Red Sox, and Tampa Bay Rays.
Okay.
And everybody else I haven't written the previews for, and I'm still putting in their offseason moves. It just depends. Like, I'm not going to write a multi-paragraph preview for the Reds.
That's what I meant.
Because it's the Reds. It'll probably be four or five. I would say a paragraph. I mean, three or four sentences on average. I mean, but you can see Red Sox were in the World Series. This is three or four paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
But Astros will probably be three or four paragraphs. But I'm not going to do a lot for, like, the White Sox and whatnot. It should be it's going to be interesting how long this thing ends up being. I'm gonna guess it'll be over 4,000 words. That's my guess. Because I'm at 17 right now.
I always say that I get the writer's block the night that I know I have to write. And then when I get done, once I start getting rolling,
you're like, that's a
then
lot.
I get done and I look at the word count and I'm like, oh my God, I wrote 1,000 words.
Yeah. Yeah.
But leading up to it, you have a bunch of ideas that you thought of during the week. And then right before it has to be due, you're like, dang, what is all... I don't remember any of the ideas that I had during the week.
Lisa can cuss at me. She can say a lot of stuff to me. And it just water off my back. I just don't care. But when now it's Monday nights. But on Sunday nights, it used to be, when she walked in the living room and go, babe, what are you going to write about? That was like cussing at me. That
really?
Was like calling me the worst name of the book. Because I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Everything that I thought, Nick, you're absolutely right. Everything I thought I was going to write about Sunday night, now I'm not.
Got to write that down.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep a little note on your phone.
It wasn't that I forgot it. By the time I got to the point of needing to write it, it's already either
the
story had changed
or
something happened.
Yeah,
or,
that makes sense.
A couple texts for I'm gonna give you guys the 25-man roster because they finalized that as well this week. But I wanted to get to a couple of these texts. Jesse from Spring said, hey, let me know if you guys need a hookup on pressure washers and accessories. The company I work for has commercial and residential pressure washers. Dude, I may have to hit you up, Jesse, because
yes, me too.
I have a rusted gas tank, and I don't want to necessarily get rid of the pressure washer. I just need to either replace the tank or clean it or fix it. And I was looking online, and man,
I'm just going to take
the tank off, and I saw where you put, like, pennies and all this stuff in there, and I'm like, that's too much work. I just buy a new tank.
All my neighbors knocking on my door and my buddy capitalizing. No, I thought, I'll buy one. It'll pay for itself in a while.
I'm going to be out there doing it.
And it's addictive. So, like, honey, where are you going? Power washing. The neighbors need me.
Yeah, exactly. We were talking about doing the yards earlier, doing lawn work in the first and second segment, and got this text. I just got rid of my hard guy, and my arms and back are killing me from trimming bushes, mowing, and defeating yesterday. Chris Householder, you got rid of your hard guy. And now you're sore.
And your arms are killing you.
Okay, well, Chris, I don't know what you're doing out there with your hard guy.
Trying to get him hard again. That's why your arms are killing you.
That's That's on you, buddy.
Wow.
That is all on you.
And don't give me any of this weak-ass crap about the fact that, oh, I was voice to texting and it didn't work out. It worked out the way you wanted to because you pressed send.
Save it.
Preview next time, Chief. Just a little bit of a tidbit of information taken from someone That's who right. knows.
Yeah, exactly. Me included. All right, Astros 25-man yep. roster was set this week. Your rotation mm-hmm. breaks out to be as follows, and I'm pretty sure when they posted it, this is the order as well. Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole, Colin McHugh, Wade Miley, Brad Peacock. I think the surprise there is Brad Peacock a little bit. He definitely earned the spot, but I think a lot of folks thought Framber Valdez was going to get that fifth spot or Josh James.
I thought it was Josh James.
But Brad Peacock earns the fifth spot in the rotation. I feel like that'll change at some point based on injuries and everything else, but that's your five-man rotation going into the season. Hitters, you got Robinson Chirinos and Max Stassi behind the plate. Infielders, Altuve, Bregman, Correa, Yuli, Aledmys Diaz, and Tyler White. No real surprises right, there. Right. Actually, no real surprises on the 25-man roster at all. Outfielders was Michael Brantley, George Springer, Josh Reddick, Tony Kemp, Jake Marisnyk. Kemp's first opening day, his first time making a roster for the opening day, so that's cool.
And one of those two guys that was on the fence, they thought one of them might not make it, Kemp or Marisnyk.
Yeah.
So both of them making it.
I'm kind of surprised, I'm not going to lie.
I'm with you.
What?
Marisnyk's bat scares me.
No. I'm kind of surprised that Miles Straw didn't make this.
But that's the other thing I was talking about. Based on his speed.
Just defensive replacement. Did you see that? He ran like 700
feet.
Was
that Tebow's ball he robbed?
Yeah. It was a long ways that he went to make that catch.
But again, and as a pinch runner, you had two guys with speed. Good luck catching him. Right, yeah. Exactly. And the fact that Marisnyk, we all know, look, the ladies love Jake, but the fact of the matter is he's got to rake a little bit more at the plate.
Although his power numbers were up last year when healthy. Your bullpen for the Astros is Roberto Osuna is your closer. Ryan Pressly, Hector Rondon, Will Harris, Chris Devinsky, Framber Valdez, and Josh James. So
it's pretty solid.
Yeah, the three guys making an opening day roster for the first time was Tony Kemp, Framber Valdez, and Josh James. I like the bullpen. I like the lineup. I like the rotation. This is a solid team.
It's really solid. The one weak spot for me, still catcher.
Yeah, they could do better behind the plate, but really when you think about it, what were they getting from Brian McCann offensively? Not much. Max Stassi, not much. You just hope they handle the staff appropriately.
And Verlander sent a good sign early that he likes throwing to Chirinos. That's good.
Oh, good.
But when you look at Chirinos, I saw him and I was like, where's the other half of him?
Yeah.
As a catcher, you'd think that he's like, he'd be more solid and everything. He looks like he lost too much weight, but we'll see.
No, you're just used to fat McCann.
Well, no. Well, yeah.
Well, he was a big boy. Well, I mean, he's not fat, but he was a big boy.
And Gattis still doesn't have a job.
Nope. Gattis is still out there.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. There's your Astros lineup and roster going into the opener, which will be in Tampa Bay later this week as we get it going for real. And that should be fun. By the way, they're at home tonight and tomorrow night against the Pirates.
Ooh, can't wait. Minute Maid. Not go.
Preseason baseball, tickets as low as $8, and I'm sure they will go unsold for a lot of people, but we'll see. All right, back with more as we get hour number two underway. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.